a speeding bullet.
Brightest day, blackest night.
This is my boomstick.
Tonight,
you gotta have.
Amazing. So I'm Jamie Dolan, that Wonder Woman. I'm part of the Angry Geek Show. I'm just here to introduce the host of our show, who's going to be moderating your panel tonight. He is Lewis Perry.
Spending the spotlight with her every week. How about a big round of applause for Jamie? Come on. So you guys are here for what?
To draw stick figures?
Yeah. What?
Yeah. But hang out? All right. No, you guys are here to see the one and only, hopefully he can hear me because he's on the cell phone, Robert Patrick! Hey. Hello, sir. How are you once again?
Good to see you.
I had a hard time. Yeah, there you go.
See you.
Now we're going to stand up.
We need this table. This is for the Last Supper.
Yeah.
Jesus is right back there. And all his apostles.
We're going to stand up because this gentleman.
Wonderful, wonderful to see all you people here. God, what a huge crowd. It's good. It's good. I like it. All right.
Oh, what? Wait. We got rules.
We got questions. Go ahead.
No, we got rules first.
What are they?
Well, first is no live streaming, no video taking. You guys can take pictures.
I see a video camera there. This guy here's got a video.
Well, that's different because they work for me.
This guy's got a video here.
No, quiet. No,
it's complete and utter bullshit.
Oh, they work for me.
These rules that you have.
That's Brian Williams. He
works. Don't scam me. That's not Brian Williams. I know what Brian Williams looks like.
Look at Duncan. He's not even paying attention. You meant Duncan. Backstage. It's, he's on his cell phone.
Look at that guy. This is the engineering genius you brought in from NASA?
Yes, and he's not even paying attention.
This is the rocket scientist over here.
Yeah, he's not even paying attention. Thanks
he's
a lot, Duncan.
He's barely old enough
that.
To look at a Playboy.
I don't.
Yeah, that's
not
what
even
I say.
Paying
hey,
attention.
It's good to see you again.
My
How
Lord.
You doing? Good.
Anyway, right. And then we got second set of
All
rules.
Right.
Those of you that watch the Angry Geeks, you know whenever we moderate a panel, Jamie and I, we have rules. But those rules are set by this gentleman, Mr. Patrick.
Oh, wow, yeah. This table's really intimidating.
Yes, it is.
It's formidable.
It is. We got rules
Can't
for you.
Move around up here on stage. I like to move around. I like to walk around like Joe Biden. You know?
Can we go over the rules, please?
I'm sorry, I don't want to get political, but it's kind of funny.
Can we go over the rules, please?
Yeah, go over the rules. Number one, rule one.
Rule one, what questions do you not want to answer, can't answer, or just too damn
I'll
tired
I'll answer anything.
Answer.
I don't give a shit.
Rule okay. two. There you go.
Rule two.
Rule two, what questions are you, screw it, because you just wrecked
I don't everything. Really care.
All right, there you
Ask
go.
Ask me anything. I'm an open book.
Okay, you are an open book. How's
See if you can
business?
Find any skeletons in my closet.
Oh, we already been through that the first time you worked with us.
I've been married 38 years. Let's hear that.
I thought you were going to say 30 times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's the
38
business?
38 years. How does it work? She's a great lady. That's all I got to say. She's a great lady.
Okay. How about
Barbara
a round of
Patrick,
applause for 38
Mrs. Barbara
years.
Patrick. She's not here, by the way. She never comes on these. She just sends me out on these missions. Missions for Barbara. That's what I call them. Missions for Barbara. Honey, I need to say, okay, yeah, sure. All right, I'm on my way.
How's the business? The Harley
Harley Davidson. This is the room, I think, where I really emphasize the fact what I named my business. Harley Davidson of Santa Clarita. And why did I name it Harley Davidson of Santa Clarita?
I can't remember.
It's because it's in Santa Clarita, California.
Yeah, there you go. Well, did you get
very, very simple. Yeah, I've got a nice thing on the back here too. This shirt here. Hold on, I'll show you. Nice.
Well, I was wondering if you got my PO. I sent over a PO for a custom bike. Did you get it?
The PO? No, I didn't get it.
Well, it was the PO number. Just call the shop. Get the reference.
Look at that. That's advertisement right there.
Yeah.
Harley Davidson of Santa Clarita.
The PO.
Yeah.
Call the shop. You got to see if I got.
I don't wear shirts with my face on it, but I do wear it with the name of my Harley dealership on the back.
But you got to call the shop to get that PO. It was F R E E J.
I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I don't know. Call the shop.
Yeah, call the shop.
Ask for Ernie.
Ask for Ernie, but when you
ask for Ernie Snare. Santa Clarita, California is located in Santa Clarita, California. But it's on the 5, the Interstate 5, which is just south of the Grapevine, about 30 minutes out of Los Angeles, California. It's some of the finest motorcycle riding in the country. For those of you that like to ride on two wheels, it's a great place to go to ride. And there's a nice amusement park across the street called Magic Mountain, which is one of the Six Flags. So it's really nice destination to come out and ride motorcycles. We ride 12 months out of the year, all year round.
How many bikes do you own?
I only own one.
Really?
One bike. I only own one bike. But I got several million bucks worth of inventory sitting on the floor, which could be yours. There's a lot of people in here. I see there's a lot of guys in here, and there's a lot of adventure seekers here. Women as well. We'll sell to anybody, you know. You
Except
girls
for
are
Duncan.
Great riders as well.
Except for Duncan, he's leaving. Oh, actually, Duncan is going to buy one right now.
Duncan's going to buy one.
Yeah.
I love it. You can buy it online. Duncan, we'll see you there at NASA. Elon Musk is asking for you at SpaceX. Or Twitter. You could always go to Twitter. Either or.
So, okay. Peacemaker.
What about it? Great suit.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, did you guys see Peacemaker?
Yeah.
Whoa, that woke him up. Yeah, great suit. I think they spent about $1.5 million on that suit. It's quite intimidating. Thank you. That's how I felt, too. It's a great thing to get called to do an action hero, what do you call it, super villain character when you're in your 60s and you got to go stand in your underwear and they got these cameras that take a picture of your physique from every fucking conceivable angle there is. And then they put you in this suit that's like glued to your body. And I'm like, why? Why when I'm 60? Why not when I was young? And more fit. But anyway, there's a secret to that character. There's the skinny version of Peacemaker, and then there's the one where I'm actually in the suit. The skinny guy is a Russian immigrant to Canada who claimed he was gay to get entrance into Canada, to get entrance into Canada, so he didn't have to go back to Russia. It's a really, immigration story. It was quite maybe I shouldn't have said that. It gave me trouble. Anyway, he's like 27 years old and he's fit and he's this gymnast guy that can do all sorts of circus acrobatics and whatnot. So he's doing all my stunts. And he looks good. There's me.
Yeah, then there's you.
It's pathetic. I can barely walk in the goddamn suit. Everybody wondering where was I getting my anger at my son? It was wearing that fucking suit everywhere. James Gunn loved the suit. I loved the suit. We all really enjoyed it. We thought it was a really great suit. But it was hell to move around in that thing. Hell of a fight scene with John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
That guy can fight. Yeah, he can fight. I did a movie with John Cena, I don't know, back in the early 2000s. I think it was his first film. It was called The Marine.
Mm-hmm.
Epic film, WWE Films, they produced it for John. It was his first starring role. John was trying to figure out what being an actor was all about. And it was great working with him. But during a fight scene we had in that movie, I hit his elbow really hard with a pipe thing that we were using in this fight scene at the end. And I remember I looked at his face and I could see it when I did it. And I went, oh, fuck. He's pissed. And It was a very daunting thing to think from then on out. You know, here's this big wrestler, bodybuilder guy that's gonna, there's gonna be a payback some point. So he had his chance during Peacemaker. And, you know, John's just such a nice guy that he didn't do anything. It was no retaliation. The first thing I said to him, too, was, how's your elbow, by the way? It's all right.
What was your reaction to Peacemaker when they came up to you? I mean, like, they were like, hey, we want
you
to
James Gunn, who's now the CEO of Marvel.
DC. DC.
See there, I don't even know who I work for. James Gunn, who's now the CEO of DC, we got a Zoom call, and he said to me, Robert, I want you to do this film. I want you to do this series. You play John Cena's father. You're a racist. You hate everybody. You're awful. You're an extreme. You know. You're just a horrible, horrible person. And I said, well, why'd you think of me? And he said, well, I don't know. For some reason, I just thought you'd be perfect, which is really kind of scary. I was like, really? What possibly could I have done to make you think of me for that? He said, it's like an extreme version of Archie Bunker.
Oh, gee.
So I said, okay, so there's going to be some humor. And he said, yes, there'll be a lot of humor. Yes. And I said, okay. I haven't read any scripts. He goes, I know. You want to do it? And I went, yeah, sure, fuck, I'm in. Let's do it. What the hell? So then I got there and I read the scripts and I was like, oh my God. People are going to hate me. Jesus
I'm
Christ.
In. No.
Wow, I don't know. But, you know, James Gunn, he's a brilliant, brilliant filmmaker and just an incredible writer. And he wrote a great story for this character, and he knows that world so well. And it was a lot of fun working with him. And I think the humor's there, and we can all laugh at it. And it's very relevant, and we can enjoy it in that sort of format. You know what I mean? So anyway, it was a profound experience.
Yeah. All right. The dance sequence. I gotta ask.
What about it?
How long did it take you to learn?
It took me a long time to learn that. It was two pelvic thrusts.
What was your
long time? I've been perfecting that for years. I stand in the front of the mirror and do that on a regular basis.
What was your reaction?
I got fucking dance moves for you.
What was
your reaction? Yeah, get a load of this. I can do that all day.
Yeah. What was your reaction, though?
That ain't dancing. I'll show you some fucking dancing.
What was your reaction, though, when they came up to you and said, Robert, we want you to dance?
This is how James said it. He said, Robert, you're dancing. I know you've been rehearsing. You've been rehearsing with Jen. You've been rehearsing with Danielle. You've been rehearsing with everybody, but you suck. So we're going to save you. So we're going to have a camera shot. It's going to dolly right past you. And all I got to do is do two pelvic thrusts. But give me everything you got. I said, I'll give you everything I got, James. No sweat. The rest is history. Needless to say, I was very upset when I was overlooked for a Tony Award. I thought I was headed to Broadway. I was going to be the lead in The Music Man or something, you know.
All right. Anybody in the audience have a question? If you do, you come up
these
here.
These people
step,
are not even here. This
mic.
Is not. These people walked in thinking they were going to the RoboCop panel.
Yeah, I think so.
And I keep telling everybody, I'm not Peter Weller. Okay? Peter Weller is next to me. So we're really trying to make sure people are aware of that. That's Peter Weller. I'm Robert Patrick. He's RoboCop. I'm fucking T-1000 from Terminator.
Well, why don't you just sign?
So people when I walk into the airport and they say, hey, RoboCop. God damn it, I'm not RoboCop. I'm the fucking T-1000, you motherfucker. Get it right. Son of a bitch. Peter Weller is not me. I am not he. He is not me. We're here to really make sure you're aware of that, too.
What's your name?
My name's Nate.
Nate, you're a brave man coming up here right now, Nate, because I'm in a foul fucking mood. I just reminded myself how pissed off I get when people call me Peter Welch.
What's your question?
So recently you did an episode of Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum, and I just wanted to say that that was one of the best episodes of his show I've listened to. It was amazing getting such
Michael Rosenbaum, wonderful, wonderful guy. Step up to the mic a little bit. We can hear you better.
Better?
Yep.
So that was one of the best episodes I've seen, and just it was so insightful. Learned so much about you. I just didn't know.
Michael really got inside of me.
He does that.
Which I warned him about. I said, hey, Michael, I don't know about this inside of me stuff. What exactly does that mean?
So
he got deep.
So my question for
all
you
I can
is,
say, it all just came spilling out.
Like I said, it was.
Do you have anything specific? I can barely remember. It was like a stream of consciousness kind of a thing.
It was nothing overly specific. Just I guess I didn't.
I appreciate you.
I wasn't aware of how many projects you had been in, and because I know the big hits and
sure.
And I love your run of X-Men.
You love me in RoboCop.
And yeah, RoboCop was fantastic. RoboCop 2 was even better.
Yeah, it was even great.
Did you just say RoboCop was even better?
Yeah, funny.
Did he just say that?
Funny fucking guy, this guy.
Guys, all right, sit down.
No,
sit down.
It's okay. Keep going. What's your question?
My question is, he sometimes brings guests back on. Do you have any plans to do another episode with him or do any other projects?
Well, you know, after Michael and I just saw each other, we were at James Gunn and Jennifer Holland's wedding in Aspen. And Michael was there, and we talked about it, and he said that particular podcast episode was quite popular. And I'm sure we could probably reconnect and do it again at a later date and kind of pick up where we left off. We had a lot going on. There was a lot we were talking about, a lot we had in common. So I would look forward to it down the road. I was amazed at how comfortable I got. I spilled a lot of stuff.
It's
like being at a shrink.
Like I say, it was amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time to come out to the conference.
Appreciate you very much. Thank you. Michael Rosenbaum, and his podcast is called Inside of You.
What's your name?
Dan.
Dan, step up a little bit to the mic.
Absolutely.
Dan.
Big Sopranos fan. Loved you on The Sopranos.
What character did I play, Dan?
You play the guy got his ass kicked by Tony.
What's the name of the character, Dan?
It was a guy who owned the store.
You don't even remember the
store,
fucking character's name.
He got his ass kicked.
You
That's
son
all
of a
I
bitch.
Remember, right?
You come up here and stand in front of me and start giving me compliments, and you don't even remember the fucking character's name.
Sit down, Dan.
Jesus Christ.
What was it like, man, working with Gandolfini?
Gandolfini was very intimidating.
Was he?
Very intimidating.
More so than
guy.
Cena?
Well, that's an interesting question. I never thought about it. Silver Cup Studios, 1999, I think, was when we filmed that. Queens, Robert Patrick, flew in from the Venice Film Festival, where I had a film at. I had done. I've been working on the Sopranos character that they'd cast me. They'd asked David Chase asked me to do it. He called me up and asked me to do it.
What's his name?
Davey Scatino. You son of a bitch. Well, you think I don't remember?
That's insulting.
Right?
Come
you
on,
never
man.
Know. You never know.
So David Chase asked me to play that part, and I agreed to do it, and I worked on the role really quite a bit with my acting coach, Stephen Bridgewater, before I went to the Venice Film Festival. And I came back, and I went to the read-through at Silver Cup Studio, and all the cast was in there, and they were getting the script for the first time. I had read it. I was off book. I mean, I was ready to go. I was performance ready. And they were all kind of looking at me like, why the fuck is this guy here? You know, they had that kind of like, why, what's David thinking? Why is he bringing this guy in? And we wowed them at the read-through. They were genuinely glad to see me after that. And we went out in front of the studio, and Gandolfini and I were smoking a cigarette, and my acting coach had said, you know, you might want to get his dander up a little bit. You might want to figure out a way to get in his head and make sure he's ready to go, you know, before that big scene where he picks you up and throws you around and
right.
thing. And so we're shooting the scene. So we're sitting there smoking. And I'm sitting down. He's standing up, sort of looming over me, you know. And I said, you know, that scene tomorrow, you better have your fucking A-game. And he went, I'll have my fucking A-game. Spitting the cigarette, hit me, you know, bounced off, hit the ground. He walked off, stormed off. And the next morning, we show up. He walks in, and this is his greeting to me. He walks up to me, and he goes, how's your balls? My balls are fine, Jimmy. How's yours? I'm fucking hungover. Let's do this. That's how we went about the scene. I was very fucking nervous. He was very pissed. He was angry and ready.
Good stuff.
One fucking take.
Wow.
Picked me up from one side, threw me in the other side. I started crying like a little bitch. Don't hurt me.
It was very believable.
Yeah, it was something else. Pivotal point in my career. Changed things for me. Everybody in Hollywood watched that show. Mm-hmm. So it opened a lot of doors down the road. Great people. James Gandolfini. I'll give you another a little bit about that. Years later, his son, Michael, contacted me about getting a tattoo, a tribute tattoo to his father. So I took Michael, he was 19 at the time, I took him to my tattoo artist, and we got a nice tribute tattoo to his father on his back. It was really, really neat to be there, and I was really overwhelmed with the notion that I was the one that he chose to take him to get a tattoo for his dad. It was pretty cool. I loved working with James. He was a great guy. Wonderful, wonderful dude. And that was a very long answer.
Cool.
But there you go.
Thank you so much.
James Gandolfini. And I tell you what, years later too, I'm really excited. My best friend was Ray Liotta, and Ray being able to be in the Saints of Newark was really magnificent for me to see, because David Chase had been so monumental in my own career, what he did to help me, and to see my buddy Ray Liotta now being in a movie that David wrote was really phenomenal. And that's the last work I've seen of Ray since he passed away. And, you know, we're obviously very shocked by his... Yeah. By his passing, and we miss Ray too. So, anyway, there you go.
What's your name?
My name's Brian.
Brian?
Yep.
Brian?
How you doing, Rob?
All right, I'm doing good. I hate being called Rob.
Robert.
Motherfucker, you might as well call me Peter. I'm just kidding.
All right, Peter.
That joke doesn't get old. I'm just going to keep it going. Go ahead. I'm just kidding, Brian.
So, when you were on The X-Files, what was it like?
I was on The X-Files.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was John Doggett.
Yep.
Yeah.
What was it like, kind of almost like stepping in for
all I remember
company?
Is Gillian Anderson.
Giddy up.
And don't
then,
we all.
And then a little bit later, all I remember was Annabeth Gish.
Don't we all.
And then all of a sudden, I started thinking about Annabeth Gish and Gillian Anderson at the same time. And then it was kind of crazy. It was kind of nutty. I was like, wow. This FBI stuff's pretty cool. I like it. It was fun. It was a great time. I did that post Sopranos. So in all genuine seriousness, I had never done television. And after the Sopranos experience, I remember I had an epiphany where I realized the greatest writing really was in TV. I mean, it was like I was doing all these crappy fucking movies that were going right to DVD, and you know, they weren't anything. And it was like, you know, you keep kidding yourself, you're making movies and you're making these things that are going right to DVD, and they're shit. And then you realize, oh, this great writing on The Sopranos. And then I went to my agent and said, you know what, I'm interested in doing some TV. If you can find me something well written, something that I can do, you know. And X-Files popped up, and they offered me that. And it was a really great thing walking in there to pick up the mantle for John Doggett. And he was such a well-written character. My favorite character I've ever played. Truly the best character I've ever played as far as the values that he had. Yeah. And what he stood up for. Right? He was a very ideal, listic kind of a character that you hope you get to play sometime in your career. So John Doggett's my favorite guy.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you very much for.
And the only problem I had with working with on the X-Files was Mitch Pileggi. I just had to say that because he's not here. I love Mitch.
They killed you off. Spoiler alert, everybody. Sorry that you got killed off so fast on The Walking Dead. I was so pumped
to
have you.
These poor people haven't seen it yet.
I know.
I know. Right? What?
You inconsiderate.
And there's only so much time that you can see it on AMC.
How do you come up here in front of all these fans that haven't seen The Walking fucking Dead?
Right.
I know.
And you tell them that I die off.
Right.
What a jerk. Son of a bitch.
That's me.
Go
That's
sit
not the
down,
first time
Brian.
I've heard, had somebody call me that today. So.
Brian, go sit down.
These people are leaving. They're so angry right now. Yeah. They don't like all these curse words. Right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Have fun storming the castle.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
What's your name?
Suck Sean. It up, Buttercup. That's my new catchphrase.
Sean.
Sean.
I like that.
Sean.
Will you guys like that? Suck it up, Buttercup.
Hey, I think that's good. We're gonna
that's
coin
a good,
it.
It's a classic, right? I got that from all my military friends. Anytime I fucking cry about anything, yeah. Suck it up, Buttercup. Come on.
Robert, that's Sean.
Sean.
Hello.
What's up?
I got here a little late.
Army,
so
you're in the Army.
No, I'm not. I was just giving you a little wave there. I got here a little late, but Terminator 2 Judgment Day is one of the greatest action movies ever made.
I would agree.
You in that movie is just iconic.
You think it's better than RoboCop?
Definitely. Way better than RoboCop.
And make sure you tell Peter Weller that.
Yeah. So you barely say
hold on. You know what would be a good gag? If all y'all go downstairs and look at Peter Weller and go, aren't you Robert Patrick?
Yeah, that would be great.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, just go up to him all day long. Robert Patrick? No, I'm Peter Weller. Yeah. I'm RoboCop. Yeah. That's that asshole over there.
But you say barely 100 words in that movie.
I think I said 100.
So it's awesome how you brought that character to life. When you saw the script, were you little intimidated to be in that movie alongside Arnold Schwarzenegger and barely saying anything?
Did you see his performance?
I mean, he killed it. He did great. I mean, it was intimidating.
I was not intimidated. I was scared shitless. There's a difference.
Well, you did great. So you
freaked
didn't.
Out. I was like, man, getting that role was like winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I became very fearful they were going to try to take it away from me. Mm. So it was like until I got about halfway through with filming, I thought they were going to fire me at any minute. It was just like they're going to knock on my trailer door. Sorry, kid, it's not working out. Oh. It was great while it lasted. Go have a nice life. I thought it was going to be all over. I was scared to death. Yeah.
Well, we're happy that you got to stay in the role.
Cause me too.
Intimidating. We didn't see it in their face at all.
Career,
straight intimidation.
Bro.
The whole movie was just stone-faced,
stone-faced.
Great acting.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I know. I did it.
Yeah.
He was there. No.
Well, I'm just kidding around, Sean.
Well, I just wanted to ask.
You're so kind. I really appreciate you.
Awesome.
I really appreciate you bringing it up. I do.
Thank you.
No, in all seriousness, I mean, it's the biggest movie that I've ever had. It's Arnold's biggest movie as well.
Yeah.
But, true that.
Well, like I said, one of the greatest action movies ever made. Definitely the greatest sequel to a movie.
Probably
ever made.
The
really
greatest.
Couldn't have done anything.
Probably
with
the
that
greatest.
Movie.
Just say it. It's the greatest film ever made.
According to my brother, if my brother was here in front of this mic,
don't
he would
try
say
to categorize
out.
It is what it is.
To my brother, it is
it
the greatest movie ever
time.
Made. It does.
It goes on and on and on and on and on.
Well, we're all here
forever.
For it. So.
33 fucking years later.
Yeah. Here we are.
And we're
here
still talking about it.
Yes, we are.
The real question is, why was there not a sequel?
I mean, they tried to do more, and they just went a little downhill after that.
Why
didn't they
ever do a sequel?
Let's stay with
Terminator 2.
I mean, they tried to. They would a little.
No, they didn't.
But Terminator
they didn't.
2.
Because if they would have tried to, they would have had me back.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean.
And then we see what would have happened.
There we go.
That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Sean.
Sean, thank you very much. Help this young man with the microphone. Everybody likes a microphone. I love a microphone. Wish I could just walk around with a microphone all day. Hey, you, put that back.
Oh. Hi, what's your name?
Matt. What the hell was I going to say?
Hey, Brad, Robert Patrick here.
Hi, Peter.
Nice to meet you. Yeah, oh! That's good. That's good. That's so good.
Everybody give Brad a hand.
Brad.
Wow.
That's it for Brad.
I think Terminator 2, aside from Wayne's World, yeah, is the biggest film you've ever done.
Oh, ooh.
What'd you say?
Wayne's World.
What about Wayne's World?
Well, you were in it.
Yeah, I did it.
He said Terminator.
What about it? They offered me a lot of money.
No. He said
it was a day's work.
No, I know. And I remember reading in an interview that you were in the audience for a viewing, and the audience popped when they saw you.
That's a good description. So we did that. And then Penelope Spheris and myself went down to Chinese Man's Chinese Theater to see it on a Friday night opening, like everybody else, and we sat in the audience, unannounced, and we witnessed the film with a real audience. And Penelope said to me, "You got the biggest fucking laugh in the film." Mm-hmm. And she's the director. And I went, "I know, that's pretty cool." Thank you very much.
But what I actually wanted
to
ask about...
Who knew I could be funny?
Hopefully everybody, but...
Well...
I did. You mentioned Ray Liotta, and there's a great movie that you did with him, Sylvester Stallone.
Copland.
Yeah, Copland. That's the one, with one of the best directors working today.
James Mangold.
That's the one. I saw that rather recently after hearing about it for years. I fucking love it.
Copland is a great film.
Fucking loved it. Yeah, it got great slept film. On. It got slept on at the time. So
yeah, well,
how did you get involved?
That's your department.
I was.
We make the fucking movie. If you don't go see it,
I was
it,
6 years old at the time, sir.
I know. Hey, let me tell you something. That's no excuse.
Okay. Yeah. No. Obviously, that's no excuse.
You'd already
my
seen
father
Terminator 2
me
by
to
the
an
time you were 6 years
with
old.
Michael Rappaport.
Did you see? Let me ask you something. Did you see T2? On a phone, an iPad, or on a TV screen?
My mother had to take the disc.
VHS.
VHS. So you've never experienced that movie on the big screen?
I mean, it was exciting as fuck anyway. On a little
dude,
Mickey
that's almost
screen.
Un-American.
Yeah, it is. No, wow.
I think you're venturing into communism. What the hell is going on with you?
What I wanted to know is how that cast came together.
Who? What cast?
Copland. My God, were you?
Well, I think everybody wanted to be in Copland. I had certainly heard about Copland. I was doing press for Striptease, a movie I did with Demi Moore where I played her husband. And
Burt Reynolds was great in that.
Yeah, he was. Thanks a lot. What about me? You motherfucker.
So were you.
So then we were doing press for Striptease, and then Peter Berg, a friend of mine, we had done Fire in the Sky together, and Peter Berg was
he's already a great director.
Great director, already cast in Copland, and he was at the Oak Room at the Plaza in New York. He called me, asked me and my wife to come over, meeting for drinks over there. We did. We went over and met him for drinks after a day full of press. And he brought Meryl Poster, who was Harvey Weinstein's assistant. And she was looking at me, and she was just going like, "Well, what are you doing tomorrow?" And I said, "Why?" She said, "I've got this movie. We're trying to cast this role. I think you'd be perfect for it. It's called Copland." And I went, "Oh," I didn't let her know how much I had heard about it. "Hey, I know you guys." And I went, and the next day, I read the script that night. I went the next day. And James Mangold said, "Would you read?" And I went, "Sure." And as soon as I said I would do a cold reading, he had cast me. He figured if I was halfway decent, you know. But he was a great guy to work with. I love James. Later, after done Ladder 49. James Mangold was the director of
right.
Walk the Line.
Yes, you were Johnny Cash's dad in that one.
Oh.
Whoa.
Really?
Jesus,
tell
I'm
me
sorry.
About
it's
it.
Been a while. It's been a while.
Tell me about that role, why don't you? What do you recall? What was it like working with Joaquin Phoenix?
Wrong kid died. I don't know.
What?
Wrong kid died.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
You're fucking good.
That's really that was Walk really Hard, good. But close enough.
That's really good. So I was, we did Walk the Line.
Wonderful, yeah.
Mango,
wonderful
Mango we did Copland, and then Mango cast me. I love doing Copland. And Copland was before I did The Sopranos. And I really, really enjoyed it. I flew out, started Copland. I immersed myself. I was embedded with the New York City Police Department for 3 weeks prior to. And I told them I wanted to learn their procedure and whatnot, but really I wanted to learn, I wanted to hear their accent. I wanted to kind of vibe with the guys. So I was with them for 3 weeks. I did some neat stuff. I can't tell you everything I did, but I arrested a person. For real. And I, you know, I'm not going to get any trouble, but I did it for real. And I'm going to tell you, it's a real adrenaline rush. I mean, it's for police officers out here right now, if you guys are here, it's major.
Was it much of it? Was it kind of like the scene on the bridge where you...
It was kind of like the scene that was cut from the show, that was cut from the movie, where we chase down these guys and we, you know, basically wrestle. But it's to have control over a human being like that and make them listen to you and take on the role of authority and kick their feet out from under them and spread, you know, and you got to pat people down. You got to know how to do all that. You got to make sure you don't get stuck by something.
It's something that appeals to an actor, I guess, when you get that sort of a part, you know?
Yeah.
That's pretty inactive. Where's Duncan?
These guys are leaving, so they left on that. They don't like that. They heard the description. Where are you guys going? We want to know. Hey, man.
You can't wait?
That's TMI, bro.
We got 10...
We didn't really need to hear that.
We got 10 minutes left, and you can't wait?
10 minutes left, you guys are walking the fuck out. You motherfuckers,
wow.
I'll tell you.
One last...
See you guys. Thanks for coming. I'm just kidding. It was a joke.
One last point.
I hope nobody's offended by my demeanor.
No. One last question, Mr. Biden.
Oh,
well, Jesus.
Wow. Insulting me is really...
No, it's a compliment.
No, yeah.
But
right.
why is that the only, from what I can remember, the only part you've done with a mustache?
Was your first name Brandon?
Oh. I wish, but no.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'd just go.
Whoa. Tough crowd.
So the mustache.
What about mustache?
Well, why was that the only one?
What are you talking about?
Well, I was Copland the only role that I can think of that you've done with the mustache, aside from, I think, maybe that other Stallone movie that you did that went to DVD?
Striptease, I had a goatee. I mean, we're talking about facial hair.
Well, I thought you looked awesome with the mustache,
well,
that's
right
why.
Now, I am doing a Western with Harrison Ford.
Oh, God, that's so good.
He's pretty
so
awesome. Harrison Ford. Helen Mirren. All right, and I have a mustache in that show. Now, let me ask you something. Do you see a mustache here now? Monday, I will have a mustache.
You know what?
And you know what they call that?
Movie magic.
You're absolutely right. Movie magic.
Before we get to...
The show is called 1923. It's on Paramount Plus.
This
poor guy is trying to ask me something.
Yeah, I am.
1923 with... It's a prequel, sequel, follow-up to 1883, which is Yellowstone.
Did you guys
Yellowstone,
know...
Yellowstone.
Hold on one second, sir. I'm trying to...
Go ahead.
I'm trying to
thing.
Build you up. Did you guys know that he has a song, music on iTunes that you can download?
Yeah. It's a great song.
Yeah, now...
It's called Oh Lord.
Okay. Well, I'm something of a singer myself.
Yeah. Let me hear something.
All right. You want to hear something?
Yeah. Give him something.
Right, I'm going to be a little off-key, but I'm going to sing something.
It's all right. Go for it.
All right.
Hey, thank you very much. You're a lot of fun, big guy.
All right. Wait, don't go anywhere. I'm going to sing a song right now.
Oh, he's
all right, hold on. I'm going to be a little off key. Those of you that watch my TV show, listen to my podcast, you guys know I can sing.
Yeah,
so I'm going to sing some.
Do it.
I'm going to dedicate it to you.
All right, do it.
All right. Happy birthday to you.
Your day early, but that's
happy
good.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, my God.
You.
How about that? Oh, my God.
Happy Look at birthday, that. Robert
wow.
Patrick.
Wow.
Happy birthday to you.
Entertainment. Go ahead and set it down there. What's your name?
My name's Carolyn.
Did you bake that?
Did you really?
This is monumental.
You yes.
You should all get up here and take a look at this.
Yeah.
This is really crazy. That's the best looking cake I've ever seen. It's fantastic. Now, the only thing that can make this cake better is if it's...
What?
What is it? Carrot cake?
I was informed after I made the cake.
Oh! It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's a beautiful cake.
Thank you.
It doesn't have to be carrot cake. It's a beautiful
it's
cake.
It's still very good.
What is the T-1000? What is he made of?
Chocolate.
This guy?
Don't. Oh!
Wow, that's so cool. Where's your bakery at?
It's in
Plymouth, Massachusetts? Wow, where the rock is, the Plymouth Rock.
Cares a lot.
Hey, what are you laughing at? 1621.
Yeah.
Learn your fucking history.
Yes. Cares a lot confections.
Cares a lot confections.
Yeah, that's Carolyn.
Let me ask you something. Was it difficult to get Peter Weller to pose for that? Because that's not me. That's Peter Weller, isn't it? That's me? Let's see. Yeah, it looks like me. I love it. Thank you all very much. It's great to spend my birthday with such a wonderful group of fans and all you guys that have supported me over the years. I really, really appreciate it.
Look, we got 5 minutes left.
Appreciate
one more question
much,
really quick.
Very much. Don't go anywhere.
Carolyn, hold
Cut
up.
Cut the cake, Carolyn.
All right.
Kat Cohen right there, ladies and gentlemen. That's my agent right there. Kat Cohen, who orchestrated this whole thing behind my back. She's a sneaky, sneaky, sneaky agent, I'll tell you that much. Who's this with you right here?
My husband.
What's his name?
Christian.
Come on up here, Christian. What's it like being married to a confectionery artist?
Heroin.
Wow. Wasn't really prepared for that one, but don't fall back. Don't fall back. I don't want you to get hurt. All right. Well, this is beautiful. This is great. I'm not going to cut the cake. I'm going to take it and put it on display at my table.
Okay.
Will it stay fresh for how long? All right. Come by and see my cake at my booth.
Were you generally
maybe
surprised?
Maybe if you're lucky, I'll let you slice it.
What?
Maybe.
Oh, all right.
Cut the cake.
Brian right. wants us all Thank together.
You. Let's do a picture.
All right.
Thank you. I'm 64. 64 years old.
All right, unfortunately, we can't get to your question. I'm so sorry.
And I will be celebrating my birthday with my son who goes to college in Boston tomorrow night. We'll have a nice dinner. I'll take him a piece of cake. All right? God bless you. Thank you so much, you guys. Are you going to be the caretaker for the cake? You're going to get it back to my booth and all that? All right, thank you. Thank you so much, you guys.
Listen, please, everyone, go downstairs, say hi to Robert. Make sure you do the thing with Peter Weller, please. Go buy a picture, get an autograph, and wish him a happy birthday by yourself.
Thank you so very much.
Thank
I
you.
Appreciate you guys so very much. Thank you. You're a wonderful audience. Thank you.
And have fun at Rhode Island Comic Con 2022.
Dig it, dig it.
That gave my heart.
Hi, my name is Rocky Balboa.
Are you ready?